for as long as there have been humans, there have been power structures. Kings and queens and serfs, colonizers and colonies and the conquered or converted, owners and slaves, presidents and citizens and immigrants, men and women and transgender and non-binary people, straight people and those who are not, white people and black, indigenous and other people of color, judges and juries and lawyers and police, and people rightly or wrongly accused or abused or killed, officers and soldiers and civilians, teachers and students, adults, children and elders, people with money or means, and those with less or none. Some of these power structures are formally institutionalized, play with us. And many of them are informal and cultural. Power is how the human world works, and it's what we understand. It's not inherently bad or inherently good, although there are certainly people with power who use it for all kinds of purposes, often positive that it is for good. But it impacts all of us. Every single one of us, and some of us in deeply oppressive ways. And as long as there have been oppressive power structures, there have been people subverting them. Samuel Adams, George Washington, William Augustus Bowles, Sitting Bull, Nat Turner, John Brown, Harriet Tubman, Gordon Hirabayashi, Minoru Kaisui, Fred Korematsu and Mitsui Endo, Harvey Milk, Marsha Johnson and Sylvia Rivera, Alicia Garza, Patrice Cullors, Opal Tometi, Madonna Thunderhawk. Just as it is human to create organizations and systems and enforcement to support those in power, it is human to work to get out of the systems that harm us and our siblings. This was the essence of the Flower Power movement. Rooted in opposition of the Vietnam War in the mid to late 1960s and early 1970s, Flower Power was a slogan and a strategy of nonviolent and passive resistance. Beat poet and counterculture leader Allen Ginsberg came up with this idea while helping organize a November 1965 protest against the Vietnam War in Berkeley, California. In his pre-protest essay entitled "Demonstration or Spectacle as Example, as Communication, or How to Make a March/Spectacle," he urged protesters to, quote, change war psychology and surpass, go over, the habit, image, reaction of fear violence, unquote, by introducing beauty and lightness into the event. He suggested, quote, masses of flowers, a visual spectacle, especially concentrated in the front lines, be handed out to Hell's Angels supporting the war, policemen, press people, onlookers, as a symbol of their nonviolent advocacy. He also encouraged protesters to bring things like toy soldiers, rubber swords, candy bars, instruments, and particularly crosses to be held up in front of combative Hell's Angels to convey a sense of theater rather than confrontation and attract media attention to their anti-war message in the process. So Flower Power was born, and it encapsulated the countercultural response to social unrest. I appreciate using a sense of lightness strategically like that to make a shift in the public power structure. It's hard to show power over people holding flowers. It reminds me of the role that people of faith were invited into in the last presidential election to bring music and to bring families and friends to polling places, carrying lightness and play and song to diffuse a potentially tense environment. that makes me think about another kind of power shift, the kind we make on the inside that can allow us to participate in and support the structural kind. Which brings me to the story of the First Flower Communion. In the city of Prague, in the land of Czechoslovakia, in the year 1923, there was a church. It was a really simple church. It had no bells, no spires, no stained glass windows. It didn't even have a piano. There was no chalice, no candles, no flowers. What the church did have were the people who came to it every Sunday, and it had a minister. His name was Norbert Čapek. He'd been the minister for 2 years. Every Sunday, Minister Čapek went to church and he talked to the people while they listened. When he was done speaking, the people talked a little bit among themselves and then they went home. That was it. No music, no candles, no coffee hour. Springtime came to the city of Prague and Norbert Čapek went out for a little walk. The rains had come, the birds were singing, and flowers were blooming everywhere. The world was beautiful, and an idea came to him, simple and clear and plain as day. The next Sunday, he asked all the people in the church to bring a flower or a budding branch or even just a twig. Every person was supposed to bring one. And they all asked, well, what kind, what color, what size? And he said, you choose. You pick. Each of you choose what you like. And so on the next Sunday, which happened to be the first day of summer, the people came with flowers of all different colors and sizes and kinds. There were yellow daisies and red roses. There were white lilies and blue asters, dark-eyed pansies and light green leaves. Pink and purple, orange, gold, all the colors and more. Flowers filled all the vases, and the church suddenly wasn't so plain anymore. Minister Čapek spoke to the people while they listened, sitting quiet and still in those hard wooden chairs. The flowers are like ourselves, he said. Different colors, different shapes, different sizes, each needing different kinds of care, but each beautiful, each important and special in its own way. When he was done talking, the people talked a little bit among themselves. And then instead of just going home, they each chose a different flower from the vases before they left. And that was all. It was simple and beautiful. From this beginning, the service has spread to many of our UU congregations and has been adapted along the way. The flower communion, as we call it, although he called it the flower ceremony, is Čapek's legacy. It's a lesson in the fragility and beauty of life and a celebration of the earth's beauty and bounty. It's a symbol of our unity in diversity, of our connection to each other, that we're willing to journey together in our search for truth. And it represents the strength that comes from rootedness in community. So if you were all here in person, I'd invite you now to bring your flowers forward, put them into vases on a center table, and I talk a little bit about the beauty and diversity of this beloved community. Instead, I invite you to watch a short compilation of the videos you all sent in with your own flowers. It's set to the hymn, We Are Not Our Own, by Brian Wren and David Hurd, which was recorded by our own Sophie Hanauer.
Seeds of life, dear.
Thank you to Sophie. And to those of you who sent in videos and pictures and dropped off these gorgeous flowers. Please, if you would like, come back to Reeb between noon and 1 o'clock to pick up one of these flowers. I'll be sitting out at the front door with them. And there's more. There's more to the story. Norbert Chopek wasn't just a simple minister in a small town. Because he was a Unitarian minister, he believed and he wrote and he preached about how everyone is important and about love and justice, just like I do here and like my colleagues do across the country. And in Eastern Europe, as Adolf Hitler and the Nazi Party came into power, this became a dangerous message. When the Nazis took control of Prague in 1940, they found Minister Chopek's gospel of the inherent worth and beauty of every human person to be, as Nazi court records show, quote, too dangerous to the Reich for him to be allowed to live. They arrested him in 1941 and accused him of high treason. He was sent to Dachau, where he was killed the next year during a Nazi medical experiment. We know, though, from his writings that even in the concentration camp, Minister Chopek's hope for the world endured. We know that he offered his flower ceremony to his fellow prisoners using weeds and grasses gathered from a field. We humans create power structures, and when they oppress and harm, we work to change them, even when they're so enmeshed and embedded that they feel impossible sometimes to even recognize. We do this because we affirm the inherent worth and dignity of all. And when we work to make that change, it changes us. Let us remember the beauty and the lightness of flower power as we seek to make the changes within and between us that bring peace and justice and bounty to all. I close with the words that Norbert Chopek wrote to bless the flowers in his simple church. Infinite Spirit of Life, we ask thy blessings upon these, thy messengers of fellowship and love. May they remind us, amid diversities of knowledge and gifts, to be one in desire and affection and devotion to thy holy will. May they also remind us of the value of comradeship, doing and sharing alike. May we cherish friendship as one of thy most precious gifts. May we not let awareness of another's talents discourage us or sully our relationship, but may we realize that whatever we can do, great or small, the efforts of all of us are needed to do thy work in this world. May it be so. And may we be so.